take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of John. We're going to start in John, but before we begin, I wanted just to share a definition of the word love. Now, the Greek words love, agape, or phileo, are translated as love in the Bible, and they are used synonymously, and they mean an attachment to, an affection for, a care for, or to have a fondness toward. This is a book written by Daniel Bader, and he's a colleague of Walter, I guess. Mm-hmm. And he wrote this book called Dwelling in God, A Study of Love. And if you want an in-depth understanding of the usages of the word love in the scriptures, I highly recommend that you get this book. You can order it online at Consulting in the Scriptures. He lays it out very, very simply. But for our purposes, I just wanted to give you the definition of love as it's used in the scriptures. It's an attachment to, an affection for, care for, or to have a fondness toward. So we're going to look at God's love first, and then the Gospel of John. Everybody's there but me. Can everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. If you can't, say something. So in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son. So love is giving. I have a couple sons. I don't think I'd give them up. You know, but God gave up his Son for us. That is such a great love. When you really stop and consider that love, that God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son that we might have life. That's really, really amazing. So that love is giving. And in that giving, there's no selfishness either. Turn to 1 John. So love is giving. God's love is giving. In 1 John chapter 4, we're going to go to the latter part of verse 8. Everybody there? Everybody still hear me?
Yeah, tell me.
Well, I was encouraged to talk loud by several different people this morning, so.
Doing a good job.
Okay, in the latter part of verse 8 it says, "For God is love, and this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or atonement for our sins." God is love, and God is the originator of love. And he so loved that he gave his Son that we might have life. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Everybody there? Almost, I still hear pages. Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 4. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved or delivered." But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, his love is a great love, wherewith he loved us, when we were dead in sins, has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And Walter has a note in the Working Translation on this verse that says, "God's great love is the foundation for his rich mercy and grace, by which he has given life to those who believe regarding his Son, Jesus Christ. This foundational love is the basis for the love spoken in other passages of this epistle. God's great love is the foundation for his rich mercy. And we know that mercy is when we don't get what we deserved. And when we were dead in sins, what did we deserve? But God's mercy and God's grace, with that unmerited divine favor, he sent his Son to die for us so that we could have life and life everlasting. That's pretty amazing. So turn to Titus chapter 3. We're going to read Titus in Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. And you can follow along in your Bibles. I'm going to read it from the Working Translation because parts of it, I think, they're clear. They were clear to me anyway. So, okay, Titus chapter 3, verse 3. It says, "Certainly, we too were at one time senseless, disobedient, being misled, serving diversified cravings and pleasures, passing our time in wickedness and envy, being detestable and hating one another." That's what we were. You know? I mean, did we deserve for God's love? No. But God's love is so great, his mercy and grace is so great that that's what he did for us, that he gave his Son for us. When we were like that, we stank. I think that's the best word I could come up with to cover all of that. We just stank. However, verse 4, "When the kindness and friendliness of God our Savior appeared, not by works of justice that we did, but according to his mercy, he saved, delivered us through the washing of being born again and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior." He loved mankind so much that that's what he did for us. Not because we deserved it, not because we earned it, but because he loved us so much. And he saved and delivered us through the washing of being born again. And that washing is like a cleansing. We were cleansed. You know, I mean, in God's eyes, we were cleansed. We were forgiven for everything. And then he poured out his Spirit abundantly on us. Wow. That's just amazing to me. Absolutely amazing, the love that God had toward mankind. Go to Romans chapter 5. Verse 1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith," or the right way of believing, "we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by believing into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience," or proven integrity, "and proven integrity hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which was given unto us." God's love is so great that he gave us the gift of Holy Spirit, and that love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which he gave unto us. Turn to 1 John. Chapter 3, verse 1. The first word in this chapter, I look at this word, behold. I didn't look it up in the dictionary, but this word, behold, for me shouts, behold. You know, look, pay attention. what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We're sons of God. Jesus Christ was God's only begotten Son. We're sons of God. We are just like and can be just like Jesus Christ when we renew our minds to God's word and his love and walk forth out on it. You know, we are. Behold, look at what God did for us. It's, you know, in the prayer and in manifestations today, we heard about God's love, you know, and I was like, wow, look at how God just worked in each individual's heart here that prayed and manifested, how God did that, preparing us to hear his word and the greatness of his word and his love toward us. Okay, chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4. Verse 16. Most people, all you had to do was turn one page. I don't know. Verse 16, and it says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth or abideth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." And in this verse, in the first usage of the word love, there's the article the. Also, in the last usage, there should be the article the there. This is the Greek definitive article, the, that differentiates when it's talking, when it's used with that word love, it differentiates this love as opposed to any other kinds of love. You know, that this love is the right kind of love, this love of God. So, we're going to read it again. And we have known and believed the love, the right kind of love, that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth or abideth in the love, the right kind of love, dwelleth or abideth in God, and God in him. So, go back a couple chapters to chapter 2. So, the God's love is the right kind of love. We're going to look at 1 John chapter 2, and in verse 15, we're going to look at one of those other kinds of love. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man, did I say verse 15?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. That word lust, I looked this up. I said, well, okay, what does that mean? I know lust, but I couldn't put it into words. So I looked it up in the dictionary this morning, Webster's. It says, pleasure, delight, to have an intense longing, desire, or need, to crave, you know. And that's God's love as opposed to loving the world and that lust, two different things. So when you're reading the word and you see that word thee and you look at the context when it's talking about God's love, that's the right kind of love. That's God's love, which is giving. And he's love, and he's the originator of love. It's that great love that God has for us and for the world, whether we're born again, and so we're God's kids. But we weren't always born again. We saw that. We were detestable, you know. But yet God so loved the world, everybody in the world. So anyway, so that's God's great love. Now we're going to go and look at the love that Jesus Christ had. So 1 John, we're in 1 John, we're chapter 3, verse 16. It says, hereby perceive we the love, there's that definitive article, the right kind of love, the words of God are in italics and are not in any critical Greek text. So hereby perceive we the love, because he, Jesus Christ, laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So Jesus Christ laid down his life because of the love that he had. Go to the Gospel of John. And continue to look at that love. Chapter 13, sorry. Gospel of John, chapter 13, and verse 34. This is Jesus Christ speaking. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another, if you have love one to another. Jesus Christ loved. He laid down his life for us, and he tells us that we're to love. In chapter 14, verse 15, we're going to start in. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father that he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come into him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he or it shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I had said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, but give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God so loved, Jesus Christ loved. And when we got born again, we have that love of God shed abroad in our hearts, and so we're able to love also. And Jesus Christ so loved that he gave his life. Did he want to do it? You know, he went to God and he prayed and said, if there's another way, I'll do it, you know. But if there's another way, can you get me out of this? And there wasn't another way. And he was obedient unto death, unto the death of the cross, so that we could have everlasting life and have that Holy Spirit and that love of God shed abroad in our hearts. Chapter 15, in verse 9. Chapter 15, verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Go to Luke chapter 6. Verse 27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them that which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, also offer the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners and receive as much again. But love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. You know, Jesus Christ is instructing them about love, and God wants us to love all people. Yes, we are to love the brethren, but we're also to love those people in the world as God loved us. And Titus, what were we? You know, we were detestable. And you know, God wants us to love others and to be merciful to others as he was merciful to us. We're going to look at Romans chapter 12, because when I read this, it just made me think of this, these two scriptures. Romans chapter 12 is the great chapter on renewing your mind and not being conformed to this world. And at the very end of the chapter, the last two verses in 20 and 21, it says, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And we know that this is an Orientalism. That means that it's going to warm that person. It's going to warm them up. It's going to help tenderize them. Verse 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And I just want to share a little story that I was part of this week, that I work with an individual who, at my job, I've been there for 2 years, and this individual, when I first started working there, was probably the most arrogant person I have ever met in my entire life. And part of that arrogance is that he pretty much treated everybody at our job as serfs. You know, serfs, you can, slaves in the Bible, God's instruction was to the children of Israel to be really nice to their slaves, but serfs in medieval times were treated really horribly. So this was this person. He was detestable. Since I've been there, I have seen small changes in him where he has started to be nicer, not be so detestable. But so, the long is this, about a year ago, he became sick. And over the last year, no matter who he had seen, what doctor, what person he went to for deliverance, he even started going back to church and he in the denomination that he was raised in. And he just kept getting worse and worse and worse in the sickness. And the sickness was in his mind. Now, I don't know what cause the sickness. All I saw was that he continued to get sicker and sicker and sicker until the point where he hadn't been to work in a week. I mean, he couldn't literally come to work and function because he was that sick. And so over the course of this time, I just loved him. Like when he needed a hug, he needed to be loved so much that I would look at him and say, "Are you okay?" And he'd say, "No, I need a hug." And I would just give him a hug and say, "I love you, you know, I love you." So last week on Thursday, he hadn't been into work in a whole week, and he was very sick. I mean, to the point where he would come in and he looked physically ill. So he came in last Thursday in the afternoon, and he walked out front, and I was out at the front desk with my other co-workers, and I had been praying for him, you know, just praying for him a lot. And, you know, and all that time just loving him and trying to just be kind and loving to him, you know. So he came to work, he comes out, and he walks out front, and he says to the three of us that work there, you know, as far as the hired help goes, he goes, "I want to give all of you a big hug," he said, "because I saw the light, I finally saw it," and he goes, "and I thought I was a goner." And he was completely delivered. If you had seen him, it was astounding. Just astounding to me that here he was. I don't know what happened. I don't know what went on, but all I know is that he saw God's deliverance. It had to have been, because he was so completely healed, you know. He didn't look like death, and he looked like death before that. It was really, really something to see, you know, that it was amazing to me. I said, "Oh my God." So I gave him a big hug, and I said to him, I said, "Our God is a really good God," you know, and he goes, "Yeah," and that's what he said to me. And I just thought that was such an extraordinary example to me of God's love in this man's heart and life, you know. It was really amazing. So anyway, we're going to close in the Gospel of John chapter 13, but I wanted to share that with you because it was just like, wow, here was this guy that, I mean, he, at one point, I wanted to quit my job because it was just that intense. And I remember when I wanted to do it, I went to God and I said, "Okay, I can't stand it, I hate it, I want to quit." I said, "But if you don't want me to quit, if there's one person here, I'll stay." And he never told me to quit. Never told me to quit. I wanted to, but anyway, we're going to look at a close of Gospel of John chapter 13 and verse 1. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hours come, then that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." He loved them unto the end. And in the rest of this chapter, you find out that this is when Judas Iscariot betrays Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ knew. And yet he loved Judas Iscariot, you know. And that's how God loved us, when we were dead in trespasses and sins, that he loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son that we might have life. So, in conclusion, we saw that God is love, and he is the originator of love. God's love is a great love and is the right kind of love as opposed to other kinds of love. His love is giving and is the foundation for his rich mercy and grace. He loved us first, when we were dead, so that we could love. Jesus Christ also loved as his Father loved, as he laid down his life for us, so that we could have everlasting life and God's Spirit in us. And because of that Spirit, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And then I wrote a little quote down here, because I just love the thing. It's a good thing God's call to love was not collect. Because we would never have answered the phone. You know? So next week for part two, and it's on your sheets if you care read ahead, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and the qualities of love, and then we're going to look at what the word says for instruction to us as regarding love. Okay, I failed to mention that, so I just wanted to bring that up.
Okay.